thank you, Jesus. You've done great things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Great things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. While you're standing, let's go to Deuteronomy 9 and 10 through 12. Thank you for coming to Tuesday night Bible study. I had mixed emotions about this little lesson, and I'll explain to you what made my decision on this in a second. Deuteronomy 9 and 10, and the Lord delivered unto me, Moses speaking of his episode, if you will, with the Lord upon the mountain. And he said, the Lord delivered unto me two tablets of stone written with the finger of God, and on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with me in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me two tablets of stone, even the tablets of the covenant. And the Lord said unto me, arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for the people which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf. 40 years to get them out, and 40 days they're already back. I'm telling you, backsliding's a whole lot quicker. It's an old country song I used to hear, the bluegrass song. It's a long way to the top of the world, but it's a short fall back down. Go quickly, he said. The people that you brought out took us 40 years, 400 years, if you will, they stayed in Egypt bondage, and 40 years to get them out of the wilderness. But in 40 days, as for this Moses, I don't know about him. Let's go and say this is our God that brought. Oh, I'm telling you, it doesn't take long to get out of tune with God. I want to talk about the state of emergency. The state of emergency. Lord, I call you today because I know you answer prayers. I call your name because I know you hear. I ask you to answer prayers because I know you can. Hallelujah. And today, God is no different. We have people that are sick. Some had surgery. Some at home tonight, not able to be here. I call on your name, and I bring their name before you because I know you're able to touch them. Open up our ears that we might hear and understand the word of the Lord like never before in the day and the time we live, because surely it is a state of emergency. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I studied for this message, and I set it aside several times, and I decided that I would do something different. And as soon as I decide I do something different, I get a text from Sister Imboden says that please pray, because we are rushing, which would I found out now is her sister, to the hospital. She was at the dentist office, and one eye went black and the other one was going black, and they didn't know what was going on, and I was studying about emergency, and there she said they've called for an ambulance, and so I said, Lord, you got my attention. I don't know who it may be for tonight, but I set this thing aside till that text came in. So I hope you get it tonight. It's an emergency. I'm telling you, anytime somebody's on life or death, I'm talking about living for God, well, not living for God, it's an emergency. You don't have time to think about it long. I mean, I used to say, think long, think wrong. Hallelujah. The state of emergency, by definition, is a judicial state of emergency where the government can suspend or change the rules of current law into a state of emergency. Amen. We've had states of emergency in this part of Lake Charles and southwest Louisiana. We don't have to go back to 2005. What was it, Rita, that came through? Do you remember driving on the wrong side of the interstate to get out of this town? Huh? They opened up the interstate on both sides. I mean, I was driving on the wrong side of the road. It's a good thing it was a state of emergency. You try that when it's not a state of emergency, they're gonna get you. But when it's a state of emergencies, the rules go to the side. There's no protocol. When it's a state of emergency, I'm going to tell you, I run red lights. When my mom called me and said, your daddy is probably dead, I put on the flashers. I drove 100 and something. I don't know how many hundreds I was driving. I drove through red lights and passed people, and they pulled over, and it was an emergency. And so we need to understand that when something's an emergency, we need to lay aside the petty things like how long is your sleeve? What you been doing? Where you been? What you done? Who you been with? We need to lay that stuff aside when it's somebody's soul is in life or death. And as I said, as I was studying, I just had these mixed emotions, but the Lord kept bringing to my attention how many urgent care facilities we see and pop up all over the place today. And you know why? Because you go to the emergency room, and we have nurses here today, and they'll admit you go to the emergency room. As soon as you get there, and I'm not saying they don't do it at urgent care, but I'm just saying you go to the emergency room, you run every red light to get there, and you're speeding to get there, and you almost get in a wreck, and you finally wheel in there, and somebody takes you in there, and they say, what's your Social Security number? What's your insurance carrier? How did your daddy die and your mother die? Are they still living? And they get all this information. I know they got to treat you, but Lord, I don't have time for that. I'm having a heart attack. Give me something. Placebo, that's fine. Something. Hallelujah. And I'm afraid sometimes if we're not careful, and we have people whose lives are in a state of emergency and we playing games. Are you still with me tonight? We're playing games. Let's get past that there are souls in jeopardy. Even Paul said, why stand ye in jeopardy? Let's get out of jeopardy. Jeopardy ought to be a game you play. It ought to not be a game that you play in serving God. And so all these urgent care facilities, I see them popping up all over town. And I just believe tonight that we need to salvage people from the carnage and the wreckage and the things that can happen before it happens. And sometimes you just need to declare in your own life, this is a state of emergency. I cannot go another day like this. I have got to do something and do something now. Wait until tomorrow could be too late. The Bible plainly says today is the day of salvation. It's an emergency. And I'm afraid that people don't have the urgency to understand the emergency of the time we live in. Jesus talked about discernment. This is one of the subjects I was going to teach on, so I'll just give you this and I won't have to say it anymore. There are different things that you should discern. The Bible talks about discernment of good and evil, right? You should discern. It talks about discerning spirits. But he criticized the hypocrites because he said, you try to discern the times by going out and looking at the sky and say, sunny today. Hey, everybody, I just discerned it's going to be sunny today when you see the sun. When you see it cloudy, you say, cloudy today, and acting like you had. And you can't even discern the times that you live in. So shall it be, he said, in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the sun. And people can't discern the times that we're living in. If Paul thought he was coming back 2,000 years ago, I can tell you this, it's 2,000 years quicker than it was or closer than it was. And we need to realize we need to live in a state of emergency to a certain extent. I don't want to walk around paranoid all my life, but I need to be ready at all times. The woman that had the issue of blood. I don't know, sometimes we wait until we're out of everything. She was out of money. She was out of, I don't read about her husband. I don't read about her kids helping her. She was out of everything. Tried the physicians and only got what? Worse. And then she heard about Jesus. She said, this is an emergency. Excuse me, pardon me. Get out of my way. This is an emergency. Because if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. She said, I know in myself I'll be made whole. And while Jesus was on a way, you remember the story, he was on his way to another emergency, Jairus' house. For he had a daughter dead or dying at his house. So Jesus is on his way to that emergency and he gets stopped by another emergency. He took care of both of them. That's what I like about Jesus. You know, sometimes we think it's an emergency. We want God to do something right now. You know, when Lazarus died, they said, it's an emergency. He said, I'll be there later. Don't you understand, Jesus? It's an emergency. You would have been here. My brother wouldn't have died. But he said, it was for the glory of God. I wasn't there. And for your sakes, I wasn't there. So I realize tonight that sometimes we get complacent and we do not realize and discern the times that we live in. I will tell you, I thank God for the 58 years old I am. I'm more serious about living for God than I was when I was 48 or 38 or 28. Right? Because I know that my time is shorter and shorter and shorter every day I live. You know, when it's time for an emergency, it's amazing how some people, they never say a word, they never do anything. But Lord, when it's an emergency, they're screaming. You can't shut them up sometimes. And sometimes people panic in a state of emergency, which is the wrong thing to do. That's why they practice these drills at school. So that when it is the real thing, you don't panic in an emergency. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Which door do I go out? And you don't even see the exit sign. And so you and I need to be prepared at all times for the coming of the Lord. Oh, my God. The rules change in an emergency. I know I like to preach certain things, and I like to discipline people to live for God, and I like to tell them what you should do and what you shouldn't do, but I got enough sense to know if it's an emergency, let's lay that stuff aside and check the vital signs and see if the pulse is still beating, see if they're still interested in God, and see if they still want to be saved, and all these kind of things before you start tacking all this other stuff on there. Are you still with me? Emergency is when something quickly comes forth when it's already in you, but it emerges out. You see how I can say that? That's an emergency. It emerges out. It brings forth what's already in there. Okay? It emerges. And so when we look at, I'm just tapping around here. When you look at how the Lord talked about things that bring forth, you look at the book of Genesis and it was a book of bringing forth, right? You look at the book, he said, bring forth, of course, means to bring something out that's already there. Write that down, Sister Ray, now. It bring forth means to bring something out that is already there. See, it's a lot different than come forth. Lazarus, come forth. But when you bring forth, it is a process of emerging from what you have inside of you to become what you can become. And so the Lord looked at the earth when it was void and all of this, and he said, let there be light. And he looked at the earth and said, let the earth bring forth, right? Let it bring forth grasses and herbs. He looked at the water. He said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. It was already there, and he just made it bring forth. He said, let the earth bring forth every living creature, the cattle of its kind, every creeping thing. Let it be brought forth from the earth. And it's interesting that after the fall of man and the curse that came upon man, he said, in sorrow shall thou bring forth children. It's the book of bringing forth. It's that development state, that Genesis, if you will. It's in there and it's got to come out. Bible says that even a woman shall conceive, speaking of Christ, and she shall bring forth. She shall conceive. And then it's brought forth what's inside of her. And I'm here to tell you, some of you have conceived some wonderful things from God, but God wants you not to harbor them and keep them in the womb of your mind, but to bring them forth and let them emerge from what you can do. The Bible says that a man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great people. Let's look at Matthew 7 and 13. You can only bring forth what is already in you. That's what I want you to understand. I cannot bring what's not in you. But my job, even as pastor or preacher, is to bring forth and develop what's already in you. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in they're at. So it's very obvious that it is a straight here is not like an arrow straight. It is a constricted gate, a straight, like the Strait of Magellan you studied in geography. It's a very constricted gate. But the other one is called that broad way, and where you just don't do anything, you'll find yourself on that road. But he said that constricted gate, few be there that what? Finds it. That means you have to look for it. The other one, you don't have to look for it. You're already on it. But if I preached a sermon to y'all a long time ago called Don't Miss Your Exit. You've got to look for it. I don't know all the ways of God, and I'm not here to tell you that I do, but I do know some of the ways of God. And one of the things I know about God, he says, seek and ye shall. Ask and it shall be. Knock and it shall be. Now, he goes on to say, beyond that, to everyone that seeketh shall, and everyone that asketh shall be given, and everyone that knocketh shall it be opened unto. So that tells me that you have not received, if you have not it not been opened and not been given to you, you may just need to keep knocking. You may need to just keep asking. Because he said, everyone that asks, now not foolish things or things you consume upon your own lust, but anything godly, he wants you to have. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. And he said, if your earthly fathers know how to give you good gifts, how much more does your heavenly Father want to bless you with good gifts? It's in you. Let's get it out. Hallelujah. How many preachers you ever heard? I can tell you, my mom would tell me, she's here tonight. I was quiet when I was being raised. I was quiet. Something happened. It was already in me. I wanted to say something. I really did, but you couldn't get it out of me. Now you can't shut me up. So he said, because that way is so broad and the other one's so narrow, he said, here's our warning sign, okay, on the highway. Beware. Be on the look, be sober, be vigilant, okay? Beware of false prophets. How many of y'all met a false prophet? Y'all know false prophets? You ever had one tell you, hey, I just want you to know I'm a false prophet over here. My name's Marshall, I'm a false prophet, and I'm going to deceive you. No. By tomorrow, I'm going to deceive you. They come in, they creep in unawares. They don't announce, hey, I'm here to deceive y'all. But he said there's, if they were false prophets then, he said, how much more? He said, even Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light. So he looks like the real thing. And then when the end of times comes, we're going to have the man, the son of perdition, that will sit in the synagogue of God and proclaim that he is God. He'll call down fire from heaven and he'll act like he is God and deceive many because they had not a love for the truth. And who sent the strong delusion? God did. That all that believe not the truth shall be damned. Who? Go read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Beware of false prophets which come to you in wolf's clothing. I have never seen a false prophet in wolf's clothing. They always come meek and humble and bless God, what can I do to help you around here? We just here to serve you. And they come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving, ravenous, meat-eating wolves. You shall know them by what they bring forth. You're going to know them by their fruits. What are fruits? Fruits are what the tree brings forth. Do men, now watch this, he shows us, do men gather grapes of thorns? No. How about figs of thistles? No. Okay? So, even so, every good tree bringeth, a grape is a good thing, and a thorn's not associated with grapes. And figs and thistles don't go together either. So he said, every good tree bringeth forth. It's what's inside of it already. Let me tell you, if you stay around people long enough, the wolf will come out. Sooner or later, the wolf will show up. Even so, every good tree, it will only bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot. What about a good heart? What about a good mind? It cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. It can't happen. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit, the pruning is a lot more than just the limbs. It's to the ground. It is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits, now watch, by their fruits shall you know them. You understand that? By their fruits I know the tree. So that if you bring me the fruit, I can tell you what kind of tree it is. Because the fruit came from the tree. So that tree needs to be hewn down, get it out of your life, hit delete or whatever you got to do, and get those people out of your life. Many people are not exactly what they say they are, but they are what they act like they are. I said they are what they act like they are. That's why it's called the Book of Acts. This was the Acts. This was the fruit of the apostles. And so just because someone says something doesn't mean that they act like that. You cannot tell your children, do as I say. They're going to do what you do, whether you say it or not. Ooh, Lord. John the Baptist scolded hypocrites. Many times he said they'd get in line to be baptized, maybe to make fun of him or whatever, but they'd get in line. He'd say, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Show me your tree, and then I'll baptize you. Bringing forth is a process, Brother Valentine. It's not an instant thing. It's not a process. You planted trees and you tell me about your apple tree and I thank God I had a few apples this year. It takes years to bring forth. And you tell me about what's going on. It's got this snarl. You're going to take it in. You're doing things you was telling me you're doing. So next year.